live from Merritt Health Hospital here in Biloxi. It's time for City Desk. And as you can hear, there's a beehive of activity of people. We've just here at the mayor's breakfast. But now let me bring you the host of our broadcast today, the public affairs manager for the city of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Mr. Creel.
Hello, William Sackett. We're glad to be recording this program from here at Merritt Health. Today is Thursday, November 10th, and we're recording it at 8:31 in the morning. We're glad to have with us a special guest, the Chief Development and Innovation Office, Civic Innovation Officer for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Cliff Kirkland. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. Nice to be here.
So noisy environment.
It is a little bit noisy, but we can still hear ourselves think. Now, let me tell you, I thought it was interesting. Mayor Gillich renamed one of our upcoming downtown restaurants. Tell me.
As many people do know, we're about to open a Patio 44 in Biloxi. Actually, I think grand opening is Monday. Soft opening this week. But the mayor's suggestion, of course, Mr. Gillich's suggestion, is that locals call the restaurant Patio Fofo. And we're going to follow his lead on that, I assure you.
He gave a nice presentation this morning to a standing room only audience of Biloxi Chamber people. And it seems like he talked on a lot of big ticket items that he's been working on for some time. Infrastructure. Another big one is Keesler Air Force Base.
Yeah, the infrastructure, of course, is in everybody's mind. It's in everybody's brain. And we see it every day driving around. His message is simple. It's that he's taken a good, hard look at it, done a good analysis. He's got things moving in the right direction. It'll never move as fast as we'd like it to move, but it is moving faster than it has been, and it's good. We've got a good outlook for the South contract. The Keesler situation, a new gate for Division Street off coming right down off of I-10, heading into gate where it would be at Division Forest. We're very close to an announcement there. The mayor has led a tremendous effort involving all the stakeholders, our congressional delegation, the Pentagon. Everything's coming together, and we hope to have an announcement sometime in December about that project.
We also want to recognize Governor Bryan has been a key player in that Keesler Gate. And the Keesler Gate, by the way, in addition to being a main entrance for Keesler, we're talking about an economic development project there, aren't we?
It also has that opportunity, of course, redesigning, renovating, extending Division Street to a five-lane boulevard naturally will attract attention of interested retail, commercial businesses. Of course, it's going to be a main corridor off of I-110 to a base that has probably every day about 15,000 people moving on and off every day at a minimum. So we're talking about a high traffic volume. And if you're in the development business, that's a pretty good corridor to look at.
The other thing that I thought was something significant today was we've had an eyesore that's been dilapidated since Hurricane Katrina, that being the Santa Maria former retirement center down there just on Main Street at Highway 90. Mayor Gillich had a big announcement about that today.
Well, the development group that did the White House Hotel, that did Margaritaville, is also taking out permits to redesign and redevelop that property into an upscale hotel. It'd be great to have another hotel downtown. We're moving close towards having 3,000 hotel rooms in a basically four-block area. That's a significant amount of traffic. We're certainly still, numbers-wise, we're under our pre-Katrina levels in residential population in downtown, but think about the fact that you have 3,000 hotel rooms at about a 90-95% occupancy. That volume of people capable of being in your downtown every single day, and we're doing things to augment that, like working on these pedestrian bridges. We're pursuing two of those to move people safely over Highway 90 north and south. But the redevelopment of Santa Maria is another great asset of the Barrington Group. How fortunate are we to have them, local people, Greg Stewart and his group, these are Biloxi people, investing the kind of money they've invested at the White House, Margaritaville, Santa Maria, and next, an amusement park.
The great thing about the Santa Maria, it's going to be called Watermark, but it's also going to be all suites, I think about 150, 155 units, as well as they're going to have a great seafood restaurant in there.
Well, being a native Biloxian, I can't wait for another seafood restaurant because there's not enough of them as far as I'm concerned.
Now, if you look at the hotels you just mentioned, let's think about that. You've got the Santa Maria announcement, which was made today for the Watermark. And I don't know if it's the Watermark or Watermark. That's to be determined. The other thing is the Hyatt Place just opened up, Central Beach, and there's a Hilton Garden Inn in the works.
That's going up at the old Biloxi Specialty Hospital property immediately east of the Santa Maria. There's also some more interest in some other hotel development in the immediate downtown area. I think that's the future. You know, it's still difficult to do single-family residential because of insurance costs and where you are located in the city in downtown. But we're working on that, too, and looking at hopefully providing some mixed-use, multi-purpose developments that would involve both retail, commercial, and residential components. So I think it's a great time in Biloxi, and the mayor is aggressive, as you know, in moving towards changing the look of our community while paying homage to our history. And that's our challenge every day.
Speaking of paying homage to our history, there's another issue. The mayor didn't touch on it today because he had so many other things to talk about, but I'm referring to the waterfront design standards and guidelines. Those are going to be very important. Does that mean the city's going to be spending millions of dollars on building things on the waterfront?
You know, if we had millions of dollars, I'm sure we'd find a way to spend it. We've been very successful. The mayor especially has led this charge and has developed some relationships that are actually sending and funneling money into the city, significant amount of money. The Keister Gate project, right now we have $30 million committed to that project. Think about that. We've only been working on this for about a year, a little over a year. We've got $30 million committed. Money for the waterfront redevelopment is important to Biloxi. We're like every other community. We're looking at BP economic damages money to use for that project. We're looking at other funding sources, too. But the mayor's whole thing, as you know, is friendly, safe, and beautiful. Friendly is and beautiful is taking advantage of our waterfront. Look how much waterfront we have from Back Bay all the way down the front, around to the front beach, over to the city of our sister city next door. We won't need to mention them. Actually, that's Gulfport, of course, and we were pleased that Mayor Hughes joined us today. But the waterfront experience, we need to do everything we can to take advantage of that, to enhance that. That's where the mayor's going from. He's fortunate. I think we're all fortunate to have someone like Gerald Blessy, who years ago pushed waterfront redevelopment, and the city just has never had the money. We still don't have it. We're getting some money coming in. It's a great opportunity for us to bring more people to the waterfront and give them a true taste of what Biloxi's history has been.
Let me move the story just a little bit because you've been talking about money a lot. And another subject that the mayor has been working on is the BP economic damages money, which it's just so amazing to me that other people would be talking about taking this money whenever it's destined and should be right here on the Gulf Coast. What's the status of that? And there's been a number of things talked about.
Well, as many people know, right off the bat, the city of Jackson announced that they wanted $400 million of that $750 million in economic damages to redo their roads. Of course, we'd like to have a little bit of that since the damage occurred down here in Harrison County, Jackson County, and Hancock County. All we've tried to do, and the mayor's made this abundantly clear, is the coast should get its share of those economic damages money. And that means the bulk of that money. The damages occurred here. Whatever damages a state sustained came because of the losses here. Those are tax losses that the state incurred. But those taxes were generated here. We need to use the money to generate a rebirth of that tax base and actually expand it and bring more money back to the state. But the status of it is the city and in conjunction with our other local governments, all 15 local governments.
Excuse me for interrupting, but that's an important thing. People talk about Biloxi Plan. Is it in a Biloxi Plan?
Well, they like some of the people who try to defeat this and see that money's sent elsewhere like to say that it's a Biloxi plan, even a Gerald Blessy plan, and utilize that against us and arguing that the city's trying to hijack this thing and get all the money. That's farthest from the truth. The fact of the matter is the mayor has brought all the local governments into play from the very beginning. We collected everyone. We've had several meetings. The issue was, what's the best way to get as much of that BP economic damages money as we can. Gerald, in fact, came up with a great idea about a trust plan and a trust bill through the legislature. That would ensure that the money would be set aside and could not be taken away in the future. If you simply do annual disbursements of money every year, you got to fight the battle with everybody else. What you're going to get. The proposal as it sits now is that we're asking the state, the legislature, to adopt a bill that would ensure that 80% of the economic damages money would come to the three coast counties, that would come to this trust. The trust then would be overseen by the recommendation from the local governments as a three-member board. The three-member board would be representative of each county and city in the on the Mississippi coast. And the appointees would come from decisions made by the mayors and the supervisors in a coordinated fashion. So the idea is to have as much people on that board with as much autonomy as possible that are not connected to how the money is going to be spent, but would make the tough decisions about what projects make sense and not. What we're hopeful is our local legislators will take this plan to the state and say, this is what we want. We understand the rest of the state needs money as well. We're willing to give you 20% of the money. That's a significant amount of money. That's $150 million. Use that as the state wants, as the rest of the state wants, but commit 80%, $600 million, to the three coast counties. Now, that doesn't mean the money has to be spent just there. It's some of our neighbors to our immediate north, the three counties immediately north of the coast, Pearl River County and Stone County and George County, those people live and work down here. They sustain damages. Keesler draws people every day. Ingalls draws people every day. The port that live in those counties and come work in here. So they would have the opportunity under this bill to apply for grants that make sense for them to help recover as well. So it's not a Biloxi bill. It's not a Harrison County bill. This thing is designed with the input of all the local governments, and the status is we want to take it to the legislature and get them to adopt this and then work out the details as we go forward.
And as I understand it, we're talking about funding economic development projects that will have a regional impact in the creation of jobs and the creation of tax revenue for state and local governments. Let's talk about one other thing before we go to our guest, Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, who's going to tell us about what's happening this weekend. But something near and dear to William Sackett's heart is steam-powered locomotives. I know they don't have this, but tell me what's going on with Amtrak.
Amtrak is still moving forward. I'll say this diplomatically, that using the vernacular of the industry, it was slightly derailed at a meeting in Jacksonville at CSX headquarters a couple of months ago, when CSX had been a partner of this whole project all along, had expressed its support many times. As we got closer to concluding our study that we were challenged to do by the by United States Congress, all of a sudden CSX decided that for this to happen, they would need $2 billion worth of infrastructure improvements. Well, we all can imagine what the likelihood of $2 billion coming to that project are, which isn't good. So we redirected things. We're looking now at only required infrastructure improvements and what those costs are, not things that they proposed that basically are their needs for the next 40 years. We're back on track, using the vernacular again. Things are moving well. We still anticipate that we could have Amtrak service between New Orleans and Orlando by 2019. Each of the local communities on the coast where the train would stop, or Bay St. Louis, Gulfport, Biloxi, Pascagoula, have identified what improvements they need to make. We've already applied for grants. We've been approved for grants to do 50% of the work that Biloxi needs. The city council, at the mayor's urging, has adopted a resolution that pledging the other 50% for the improvements we need to make. We see this definitely happening, and hopefully as soon as 2019. And that would be, at a minimum, we would have daily service between New Orleans and Orlando. And also, the likelihood is that we would have an additional service between Mobile and New Orleans. So we'd actually have two passenger trains coming through each way every day.
No word on steam, though, huh?
I see steam every time I try and suggest something to the mayor, and that's about it.
Okay, William Sackett, you got nothing to say about the steam. Thank you, Cliff Kirkland, for being here. If anyone wants to send an email to Cliff Kirkland, because I know he loves email, his email address is C-K-I-R-K-L-A-N-D. He says anonymous letters are better. C.Kirkland@Biloxi.ms.us. That was a pretty broad stroke of things going on in Biloxi from Cliff, huh?
Yeah, and I can appreciate and really value all the drama that's happening up in Jackson, especially for that $400 million to fix their roads when the destruction was down here. And what a smooth move on the part of CSX. I can have all my bills paid for the next 40 years. Thank you, Kirk. He couldn't have said it better.
We have joining us now Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, the public affairs specialist for the city of Biloxi. Tell us what's going on this weekend, and what about this turnout this morning?
Well, the turnout this morning was good. Like, as Terry Power, the president, said, that this is one of their most popular series, and it proved to be that way, a full house.
President of the Biloxi Chamber of Commerce, and we were glad to see Adele Lyons, the new chief executive officer of the Chamber of Commerce here, Keesler Air Force Base people, and just a huge representation of the Coast business community.
Mayor Billy Hughes was here, many of the military dignitaries, on and on.
Yeah, definitely. And then a little later on today, check out our Facebook page, and we'll have photos of people that were here in attendance. But also happening, as Vincent said, is something going on this weekend. We have the Mayor's Cup Run. It's the 33rd annual Mayor's Cup Run, and it's going to happen this Saturday at right in front of City Hall on Lemieux Street. Registration will begin at 8 o'clock, but registration is currently going on online. We can get the registration off our website at biloxi.ms.us. Now, this will be a 5K run and a 1 mile. The 1 mile starts at 9. The 5K starts at 9:30. Mayor Gillage is expected to be present to start off the race. Again, that information is on our website.
You are already talking about Christmas on the water. Can you believe that, William? We're not even near Thanksgiving yet, and she's talking about Christmas. Why are you talking about Christmas so early?
Well, because the city has to prepare. We have some events coming up, and we have deadlines coming up. So, like you said, Christmas on the water, it's a lot of activities in that, such as the boat parade, a children's parade, and Christmas in the city. And currently, all three of those events, the organizations, which is the committee and the city of Biloxi and the Biloxi Main Street, are accepting applications for each one of those events that are happening beginning the first weekend in December, Friday and Saturday. And all that information is on our website.
That's the key thing, is that Christmas is at the end of the month of December, but the Christmas on the water is at the beginning of the month. So that's why you're hearing a lot about it right now. Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, we talked about the Cedar Lake Bridge is going to be closing so that there could be some work right south of there. Sewer work. The city's delivering sewer service to a half dozen neighborhoods right south of that bridge. So in order to install the sewer main and the manholes in the middle of the street, they are going to have to close Cedar Lake Bridge. We're looking at 5 weeks. It starts this Monday. It's going to be open back up for December 16th. What am I missing? Anything else?
No, I think the mayor covered a lot of stuff this morning. We've covered a lot on the podcast. So like always, just go to our website, go to our Facebook page, and you stay up to date.
You've been listening to City Desk, News and Views from City Hall. We're here at the Merritt Hospital in Biloxi with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Thank you for listening. Until we meet again next week, this is William Sackett speaking.